Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hey, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. It's 8:35 on this Wednesday morning, 17th day of April, 2024. I'm John Reed, and we are glad you are riding along with us here this morning on News Radio WRVA. I mean, I feel kind of bad about this in D.C. And, you know, a little warning to my Republican friends. I haven't been happy about anything that's happened in D.C. in years. You know, when I worked in the Senate, it was really disgusting to me, and I left not only with a loss for my senator, but just a loss of respect for the institution of the United States Congress. And it's only gotten worse. You know, it's like losing your virginity or something. I mean, once you're aware of what's going on, it's a pretty eye-opening experience. And nobody's doing anything in Congress that pleases me. Having said that, though, how many more times do you think you're going to change the Speaker of the House before the average American, I mean, even without the help of the national media, says, these guys are clowns. You know, they don't know what they're doing. They're not willing to push back at the right time. You know, part of this is knowing when to say something, when not to say something. And you know, I don't get it. I don't get what the Speaker's doing. But I think that threatening to oust him after the drama that we've seen over the last few months is probably not a good plan. What you need to do is focus on where you can win additional seats with real conservatives in the House of Representatives, and give whoever the Speaker is, you know, enough votes where you can actually achieve what you want to achieve. And then you push back on the bureaucrats who seem to be, you know, exercising too much leverage on some of these Republicans. But, you know, this constant beating up on your own guys is a problem. Now, I don't know if you hear Jimmy Failla on a regular basis on Fox News. You see him on the late night shows on Fox. This guy is really interesting because he's plugged in to American politics, but when I say he's a comedian, I mean that in a positive way, because, you know, who was it, Breitbart, who said that politics is downstream from culture, and conservatives have lost control, if they ever had it, of American culture. Jimmy Failla's pushing back on that, and he's got a new book out that he wants to talk about. He's with us live this morning. Jimmy, good morning to you. I appreciate you coming on the air with us.
Hey, John, and one note about that book. If people listening like reading at a third grade level, they're going to really like the book. I mean,
you wrote it especially for them, huh?
It's going to take you back. If you like scratch and sniffs, if you like pop-ups, this is your Super Bowl.
How has this been at Fox News? You got all these fancy lawyers, all these producers with, you know, PhDs and master's degrees. I mean, I've walked through the Fox building. It's a pretty impressive collection of people. And then you show up on the air, and not to denigrate you, but as a comedian, do they look at you with a jaundiced eye, or are they welcoming and say, hey, maybe you can bring some levity and generate new audience for you?
Oh, no.
For us?
No. They love me because there's two things. Okay, obviously, every time I'm on the air, it makes the other anchors look smarter. So there's that. But then there's this other reality that Fox, like within the confines of that building, it really is like a well-dressed high school. And what I mean by that is, you know, in high school, like you're walking through the halls between classes and you high-five your buddies and shove somebody into a locker and tell it. That is Fox News, except instead of the classrooms, people are on their way to studios. So you high-five Bill Hemmer, you shove Gutfeld into a locker, you know, you check out one of the, you know, fine people. And it's like a good time. And you fit in well for comedy because the truth is, like, our audience, and this is where it works well, is, like, I'm touring a lot. I'm always on the road doing stand-up on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Our audience is the fun side, meaning if you had a choice, it's Saturday night, and you got invited to a party between people who say America and people who say America, okay, the good time is always going to be had in America, and that's our audience, okay? America has fireworks and moonshine. America is going to yell at you for cultural appropriation because you celebrate Taco Tuesday. Okay, it's exhausting. So we're the fun side, and that's why we win. That's what helps my show. That's what helps me on the radio is, you know, we're taking the issue seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously because that's exhausting.
But you got to worry about the people that you're with. If you're touring every weekend, it seems like there's so many nasty leftists who have a sense of humor as long as it's an attack directed at conservatives. The second you say something about Barack Obama or, you know, Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, man, you could be, you know, run out of town on a rail. They're so hostile.
Well, that's the nice thing about, like, being based in New York is, you know, my city of Manhattan is like 96% liberal. So I can't actually tell them I work at Fox News. I tell them I'm a helicopter pilot at Epstein Island. And then I get like a, you know, I get like a standing ovation. They're like, oh, how's the new crop looking this year? But you're right. But the power of comedy is if the audience knows you're bargaining with them in good faith. Okay. And this is the trick to comedy for real. Okay. We use a phrase a lot called read the room. But if you're a good comic, your job is to lead the room, which means you can walk into, you know, foreign territory filled with enemy combatants, and you can kind of fly into that storm, and you can make fun of them if you have control of the room, but they also know you don't mean anything by it. So the big change in the last 5 years in stand-up is that I now have to really do a disclaimer at the top of my set about the potential for people to be offended, but obviously it builds to the crescendo of I don't care. You know, it's a comedy show. The world is on fire. You know, I don't owe you that. And this is the thing. And I wrote a book, obviously, as you mentioned, the Cancel Culture Dictionary. Okay, cancel culture existed before social media. Like, we always had groups of people that showed up to get mad at the comedian. We just didn't call them cancel culture. We called them losers, okay, because that's who they are. And we figured it out now. So we're a little more aggressive in comedy than we were 5 years ago. I think we're on offense again, which is good.
It does seem like, based on what I see coming across my Instagram feed and TikTok and some of these other social media apps, that some of your colleagues, your brethren in comedy, have decided they're just going to go for it. You know, to hell with the people who are always angry. They're going to take the pot shot at the folks that might have been off limits a few years ago. Do you think that it's changing? That the comedians are just tired of it, and they're willing to take that risk.
You know what they realized? A lot of comedians at the beginning of the Trump age were on the left side of the argument, okay, because it was trendier in Hollywood, and comics are always concerned about what's going to get them work, or, you know, get them booked on the, you know, maybe a late show or something like that. But what they ultimately came to realize is the left is the party of censorship. And if you say stupid things for a living, like we do as comedians, you can't really support, you know, restrictions on speech rights, nor a career death penalty for somebody who wanders off the reservation one time and tells an off-color joke. I mean, the truth is the way you write good jokes is by writing lots of bad ones. Okay, when you watch whoever your favorite comic is, okay, it could be Chappelle, could be Seinfeld, doesn't matter, okay? The hour you see on stage is the end result of them writing 5 hours. And in that 5 hours, you know, some of it might have worked well, but not as well as the stuff that makes the hour. But the truth is, it's just trial and error. And every joke is a recipe. And the chef is not trying to kill the customer. And that's why it's become so stupid to police jokes. You know, they're jokes. I mean, the whole point of them is to escape the torments of everyday life. So now that comics realize that they're ultimately, you know, cannibalizing their own industry, they're starting to trend more conservative, if only because it's the free speech party.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, growing up, I used to think the Reagan jokes were hilarious, making fun of him for being old. And there's nobody who's a bigger Reagan fan than me, but yeah, I was able to find the humor in that. And I've heard from some of my friends who've dabbled in this and have, you know, have been less successful than you've been in comedy, that they can't stand going to colleges and universities. They can't stand talking to a younger demographic because they just don't have a sense of humor. They take everything so personally.
Well, what happened was, like, the problem with colleges is they made victimhood trendy. And what that spawned was this generation of comedy consumer that was seeking currency through acting offended. Meaning it's like, oh, the comedian said something, I was hurt today, I'm owed something, you know? Right. And that's where they kind of turned the comedy world on its head, because the truth is, when you're starting out as a comedian, traditionally comics were going to colleges because there was a generation before this one that couldn't be offended. Like George Carlin on campus, which is probably the biggest stand-up special of the 80s.
Right.
The reason he shot it on a college campus at UCLA is the whole pretense of the special is that Carlin was so profound and thought-provoking that he had to shoot it at a college because they were the only ones who could have their orthodoxies challenged without getting upset. Now imagine if you were to fast forward from 84 to 2024, 40 years later, it's an inverse proportion. If you did Carlin on campus, it would be campus on fire.
Right.
And there's nobody would live. It would be crazy.
Yeah, I think it's got to change. And these guys,
yeah,
they can't live their life angry all the time and not see the humor in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've told people, you make fun of me as long as it's actually funny. Yeah. I know the difference between the F
joke
word
and a hate
being
crime.
Used against me and a gay joke. You can make a gay joke. I'll laugh at it. The F word joke, not so funny. I know the difference between the two. So
I laugh.
I appreciate hearing you. The Cancel Culture Dictionary is the book by Jimmy Failla. And of course, if you're listening to us here with the Fox Radio Network and the Fox TV Network, you will see and hear Jimmy on a regular basis. And I appreciate the chance to talk to you. Jimmy Failla, thank you.
It was a good hang. I'll see everybody on TV. Thanks, John. Have a good day.
Okay. 8:46. We're back with more in a moment on News Radio WRVA.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.